Welcome to episode 74 of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Below. It's such perfect timing to be sharing this podcast with you because I just came back from a two-day workshop with comedy guru and speaking coach Judy Carter. We spent the first day unpacking our personal stories and learning how to see the extraordinary in the ordinary. And honestly, there were definitely moments when I felt like the entire room could have been in a training to be writers for the sitcom Seinfeld, because the emphasis was on finding the something in the nothing. We learned that even on the most mundane, boring days, there's a lesson, a conflict, an aha moment, a challenge to overcome, or an opportunity to celebrate. In short, there's really no such thing as a normal day. Only days that are filled with amazing stories that are there to grab out of the air if we're paying attention. My guest today shares a bit about her perspective on the personal story and how we introverts can use it to connect with others. But before we get to that, let's look a bit deeper at one of my favorite quotes. Part 1, Initial Insight. There's a quote that I've thought a lot about over the years. What if we just acted like everything was easy? This invitation comes from a fellow introvert entrepreneur, Marianne Rodmacher. I hear it and think, can it really be that simple? But then I realize that there are a lot of things that we claim and put the label on of difficult. And those things are only difficult because we've decided that they are, or someone else told us that they were. Here's an example. I remember trying to do a cartwheel a few years ago, and for this 43-year-old, that was a really hard thing to do. I used to do it all the time when I was a kid, before I realized that there was anything miraculous about being able to throw down your hands and kick your legs over your head and land on the other side. I didn't know that it was a hard thing to do. As adults, we have the curse of knowledge, which means that we know too much about certain things, and we only see them in their detailed, complicated form. We're too close to step back and see elegance or simplicity. As you listen to this podcast, think about what parts of your experience with networking and connecting you consider difficult. Now flip that around. What if those parts were easy? What if everything about networking and connecting with other people and socializing was easy? It's definitely a thought worth experimenting with. Part 2, shameless self-promotion. It's been really wonderful that so many of you have been asking me when my book, The Introvert Entrepreneur, Amplify Your Strengths and Create Success on Your Own Terms, was going to be ready. And I'm happy to share that one more milestone has been reached. You can now pre-order your copy on Amazon.com for either the paperback or Kindle editions. It's scheduled to be available on November 3rd, so if you order now, you'll have a wonderful surprise come November when it lands in your mailbox or is delivered straight to your Kindle. Think of it as an exercise in the joys of delayed gratification. You can find the book by going to Amazon and searching for The Introvert Entrepreneur. Part 3, The Conversation. My guest today is Kristen Brown, founder of The Happy Hour Effect. You might be wondering how the words happy hour and introvert can go together in the same breath, but it's totally possible, and Kristen tells us how. At the end of my interview, I'm going to share a few thoughts that members of the Introvert Entrepreneur Facebook community shared with me about their perception of the words happy hour. Kristen Brown is a best-selling author, keynote speaker, and corporate trainer. She works with people to minimize stress, leverage goals, and boost performance using proven tools and systems to ignite action. She's a 2-time best-selling author, widowed mom, and a 15-year corporate America vet with a master's certificate in integral theory, which is the art and science of multiple perspectives. And she holds a holistic coaching certificate. Her books are The Happy Hour Effect, 12 Secrets to Minimize Stress and Maximize Life, and The Best Worst Thing. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Beth. Thanks for having me.
Well, what is making you smile today?
Well, it is a snow day here where I am in Minneapolis, so my daughter and I just get a little bonus day together. That's making me smile today.
Nice. Where do you happen to fall on the introvert-extrovert spectrum, and how has the awareness of where you are on that spectrum influenced you as an entrepreneur?
You know, it's interesting because when I was younger, I was a lot more extroverted. I wasn't a kid who liked to do slumber parties or talk on the phone, but I was much more social and I liked being the life of the party kind of thing. But as I've grown up and matured into an adult, and then once I started my business, it's like my brain kind of shifted a little bit. And I've always had introvert tendencies, but really became much more, I don't want to say reflective, but really became much more introverted in nature about 5 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And I call myself an extreme introvert because I really am much more energized by being alone than I am in groups, which as a fellow introvert, I know you know that that is one of the key things that drives us. It's not that we're shy or antisocial. It's just that we get energy from being alone.
Exactly. How do you feel like that's influenced your path as an entrepreneur and business owner?
Well, you know, my journey to entrepreneurship is kind of a bittersweet story. I was actually widowed 7 years ago, and I had been in corporate America for 15 years and was kind of always forced to be an extrovert. And, you know, I was a leader and, you know, had a team of people. And once I started my own business and left corporate America, I was forced to become more goal-centric and really reflect on my actions to say, okay, I have a child and I'm now a solo parent and I'm going at this alone. So how can I really use my introverted nature to make that a strength for me? And so as an entrepreneur, I think it really benefits me because I think we're always working 24/7 when you own your own business. Mm-hmm. And as an introvert, we're always thinking 24/7 and right. In our own heads 24/7. And so I think it's really influenced me in a great way. And it helps me a lot to be an introvert and an entrepreneur.
Nice. Well, what I find interesting and curious is that your business and your book are based on two words that most introverts I know dread: happy hour. Explain yourself. Well, it's kind of funny because I posted on my Facebook page just kind of, you know, in prep for this, I didn't mention that I would be interviewing you, but I just said, when you hear the words happy hour, what do you think of? And got a slew of responses anywhere from, you know, run away to my happy hour is that time when I get home and put on my jammies and have a cup of tea or connect with my spouse. So I love that people took that phrase that I usually think of in one particular context and put it into another one. And I have a feeling you're going to do the same thing as we talk about this. So what exactly, when you talk about the happy hour effect, what does that mean?
Well, in my mind, happy hour is a time where whether you're out for drinks with friends or whether you're at home with your glass of tea, it's a time when you really just step into yourself. You let go of the stresses of the day. Mm-hmm. You think bigger. You're often connected with another human being, which for introverts, you know, we know that that's sometimes a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's happy hour is a time where we really are our best and our mindset shifts. So the happy hour effect is taking the benefits of that, being yourself, being authentic, being creative, coming up with big ideas. You know, think of all the ideas on the back of a cocktail napkin that we've come up with.
Right.
And using that to really implement into your life and into your business.
Nice. Because when I do think of happy hour, I also think of, you're letting go of the stresses and you are more relaxed and perhaps more receptive to what's going on around you.
Definitely. The open-mindedness is key. You know, you think about when you're sitting with a group of friends or you're sitting by yourself and ideas come to you, you want to explore them. And that's where the back of the napkin comes in and you're mm-hmm. thinking, what would happen if I did this? And even if you're just thinking or talking about it, there's definitely a different open-mindedness that comes during happy hour.
Yeah. So thank you for expanding that definition for us.
Yeah.
Making it something that has potential rather than pain. To shift gears just a little bit, I know we'll probably be coming back to the happy hour concept, but I was intrigued by numerous things that you talk about. And one of the points that you drive home is that we really need to make sure we're building a business and not funding a hobby. And that requires commitment. So what commitments do you feel and have you found that are critical, especially for the introvert entrepreneur, when it comes to managing our energy and creating a sustainable business?
Well, I think that, you know, so many people think of business owners and business leaders as, you know, someone who's gregarious and out there and networking and they're on TV and they're everywhere all the time. Mm-hmm. And yes, that can be the case. But you know, me on the other end of the spectrum, an extreme introvert, I have found ways to tell my story so that it appears as though I'm everywhere. It appears as though I'm very gregarious and extroverted, when really I'm doing that all from behind a screen. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean I don't network. It doesn't mean I don't go do things in front of other human beings, but it means that I have found ways to get my story and my message out there that doesn't compromise my comfort level in being with other human beings.
Right.
And, you know, I think for us as introverts, it really means there's a lot of writing. There's a lot of social media, blogging, videos. I love doing videos because it's just me and my little camera, and mm-hmm. I can be open and not have to worry about interacting with other people. And I actually also love TV and radio because it's just me and a couple people in a studio. It's not me and a room full of people I don't know at a cocktail party. Right. So I think people need to flip their mindset about what an introvert is to look at, you know, it's really about telling your story in whatever way is comfortable for you, because stories, humans buy from humans, people buy from people. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, how can you get that story out there in a way that is comfortable for you?
Yeah. So I'm hearing a commitment to being yourself, mm-hmm. you know, being comfortable in your own skin and trusting what works best for you, as opposed to trying to fit into things that don't work for you.
Absolutely.
Well, you're also passionate about the power of personal story and how it plays a role in our business. And, you know, it's interesting because I found that's one of the places where I feel a little challenged. And I think some of my clients and colleagues do, because as introverts, we often want to put the spotlight on others and not necessarily talk about ourselves. You know, you give us some tools. You talk about excellence, experience, and exposure as being keys to finding our story. So what role do each of those aspects play in communicating our story and finding it?
Yeah, so many business owners are uncomfortable sharing their personal lives mm-hmm. in a professional realm. And, you know, it's really not so much about saying, you know, I had cereal for breakfast today, or, you know, kind of those boring day-to-day things that happen in our personal lives. But it's more about creating a connection with other people so that they see that you're a real person behind your message. And, you know, it's funny because one of the things that my fans know about me and my friends and my family, everybody knows I love bacon. And, you know, most people that eat meat like bacon. And I don't talk about it all the time, but I will tell you that almost every week I get an email, a social post, or something in the mail bacon-related from people that I know and people I don't know, because it's a random part of my story that I choose to share occasionally.
Yes.
You know, it has nothing to do with the core business, which is I'm a speaker and a best-selling author on stress management and happiness and goal setting. And it has nothing to do with that. But it's just another part of my story that makes me relatable, makes me interesting. And I always tell people, you know, when you're thinking about the parts of your story that you're comfortable sharing, what you mentioned earlier, the experiences you've had, the exposure that you get, the excellence that you have. And when I say excellence, I mean awards, education, things like that. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to talk about those things in the course of your normal business conversations. It doesn't mean you're bragging. Mm-hmm. It just means that you're finding ways to connect with other human beings. And I always tell people, if you're struggling with this, think back to a time when someone has said to you, well, that's interesting, or that's cool, or even that's really weird. Mm-hmm. Because it is those cool, interesting, and weird things that will make you stand out, that will make you memorable, that will keep you top of mind for your clients and your prospects.
Yeah. You're reminding me of like Seth Godin and the Purple Cow, you know, finding that kind of unique differentiator that makes you stand out. And often that is in our personal story, and finding a safe way to communicate that. And I mean, you know, I think of bacon as safe.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because as human beings, we're not going to get along or relate to everyone.
Right.
But we're going to find something in common with everyone the more stories we share. You know, I had, when I was in corporate America years and years ago, I had a boss who, I mean, he was the owner of the company. We had nothing in common, and we knew it. It was not spoken, but we knew we kind of butted heads. But the one thing we had in common was we both had dogs, and every meeting started out with us talking about our dogs. And it was just a way to sort of bridge that gap when someone may not be the ideal person to communicate with at any given time.
Yeah. Pets are another great one. Yeah. I'm a fairly new dog owner, and I find that as soon as you start talking about dogs, people just open up. And and so, yeah, I appreciate that reminder that sometimes it's something completely unrelated to our business or to what we've, you know, the purpose for which we've connected with these people that can actually create a lot of resonance because they say, oh, you like that? I do too. And it seems like there's a lot of desire on the part of people to have that me too moment.
Yes, yes. And when they feel like you're like them, they're going to be much more likely to open that wallet to pay you for whatever right. it is you're offering.
That's true. And then you get to move from the hobby to the business.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So part of that key then, it sounds like, is also being willing to be, I mean, really, it comes down to being willing to be vulnerable on some level, which is, you know, thanks to Brené Brown and, you know, some others, is a concept and a way of being that is starting to make its way a little bit more mainstream, but I know that we still have a ways to go. So thank you for being an advocate in that particular arena. I want to circle back to where we started about the happy hour piece. What tips do you have for introverts who, while they might not be literal happy hour enthusiasts, want to bring more of that open, curious, receiving energy into their business strategies?
I think it's really just about starting to crack open who you are as the person behind your business. And that doesn't mean you have to go overnight and suddenly your fans and followers and customers know everything about you inside and out. But it's just letting them in a little bit and just saying, you know what, here's who I am behind the scenes. And I love literally behind the scenes photos or behind the scenes videos where you're like, hey, here I am sitting at my desk. This is what my office looks like. It's an absolute disaster, but this is me. And that is still business focused. It's your office, but it's also letting them see who you are behind the scenes and showing, you know, that, okay, she's not a perfect neat freak. Unless, of course, you're like a professional organizer. Don't say that.
And then you hope you're a perfect neat freak.
Exactly. But, you know, just giving them those little sneak peeks of who you are behind the scenes so that they can relate to you and engage with you on a deeper level.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm remembering, are you familiar with Jen Loudon?
Yeah, I've heard that name.
Yeah, she's known for doing some videos that are a little bit offbeat. And I seem to remember a friend telling me or sending me a link to one where she was actually like under her bed and talking. Yeah. So I'm sure that whatever her message was had something to do with being under the bed. But I just thought, wow, that is, you know, it's so simple, but and it's vulnerable and it's probably very powerful for people. And I mean, yeah. I haven't even watched the video, but I remember that and feel inspired by it.
Yeah. It's really about differentiating yourself from everyone else. So if you take who you are and the things that you offer, you know, your brand products or services and your brand messaging, and then you look at your top 3, 4, 5 competitors and you write down what it is they offer in their brand messaging, you don't want to have anything that's the same as them.
Right.
It might be the exact same product or service, but you need to find ways to communicate all of that stuff in unique and different ways. And sometimes that means being a little bit more open and take, even if you're an introvert, saying, okay, how can I really step out of my comfort zone and showcase what makes me different and special? And sometimes it's you're under the bed.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. But, you know, there's an inspiration to say, okay, so what is it that is part of my message that might be able to be presented either in an unusual way or something that might seem unusual to others, but that is typical for me? You know, for all we know, Jen gets under her bed every day. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Authenticity. Do what feels right for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for that. Because that's affirming because we can feel like, oh my God, they're doing something so cool. And how can I possibly do that? But it's like, if you do what is true for you, it will resonate with the people that it is supposed to.
Exactly. I always like to give the example of Lady Gaga and, you know, lover or hater.
Yeah.
She's weird, right? She's weird. And whether you see her at an awards show wearing an egg outfit or whether you see her at lunch on the streets of New York, which I've seen her photographed there, she looks weird.
Right.
She's wearing weird stuff. She's wearing high heels that are like in the shape of daggers. And that's her thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go be Lady Gaga, but find your thing. You know, maybe you always wear really cool, bright, colorful scarves. Maybe you have a catchphrase. Maybe all of your images on Facebook and Pinterest have really beautiful black and white photography with a cool, bright red text over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding the consistency and the authenticity in what you're already doing and just making it more out there so that people can see it and engage with it and elevate you in their minds. The memorability factor again.
Nice. Yeah. And it seems like then you would create happy hours, plural, because you would just be, you know, living more in alignment with who you are and connecting with people that way. So thank you for that. As we wrap up here, I want to ask you a question that I ask all of my guests. If you were granted a 3-week vacation on Introvert Island and mm-hmm. you could only take 3 books with you, what would you take with you and why?
Oh, gosh. I would definitely bring a book of quotations. I love quotes. I think a lot of introverts do.
Yes.
We love to just kind of be inspired by words of others. So I would definitely bring a big, thick book of quotations. I would bring... Does a journal count?
Absolutely.
All right. I would bring a journal because I'm a huge list maker and I like to map out visually different strategies and ideas. And then I am, when I'm on an island, Introvert Island, and I'm all by myself, I do like to read a good thriller mystery book, just a mm-hmm. fiction novel.
Any quotes that are particularly resonating with you lately?
Oh, gosh, lately, I can't think of any specific one, but the one that is really just my driving mantra that it has been since I started Happy Hour Effect 5-6 years ago is from Mother Teresa, and it's, "Let no one ever come to you without leaving better." Mm-hmm. And that's always what I try to keep in my head is, you know, if I speak to a group of 5 people or 500, are they leaving that room with something that's going to make their lives better? If I write a book, if people read it, are they done reading the book and they have something actionable and tangible they can do to make their lives better? If I meet someone at a networking event, I'm maybe shy and I want to hide in the bathroom, but can I connect with at least one person who I'm going to improve their life in some way?
Mm. Well, thank you for actually fulfilling that intention in this conversation, because I'm sure that anyone listening is coming away with some inspiration and feeling like something about their lives has been made better. So thank you. What is the best way for people to connect with you and learn more about you and your books and your services?
They can go to happyhoureffect.com and everything you need is there. All my info, my books, my social media stuff. And my favorite social media network is LinkedIn.
Okay.
So definitely link in with me there. I think it's the most underutilized, misunderstood. People are on it, but they're not using it the right way. So I think that's my very favorite social media site. So definitely connect with me there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been a great joy chatting with you. And I appreciate the reframe of what happy hour can mean and a reminder about the importance of authenticity. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks for having me, Beth. It's been really a pleasure. And I can't wait to connect with some of your listeners and talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Kristen. Part 4, Final Reflection. I love how Kristen has reframed the idea of happy hour for us. As I mentioned earlier, I want to share with you a few comments from the Facebook discussion thread about what the words happy hour mean to an introvert. Here are a few of the highlights. Anne says, "That would be drinks with my husband at 3 or 4 p.m. when the happy hour discount starts, but before the crowd gets there at 5 p.m. Edith writes, "I fear I instinctively hear happy hours, plural, and then I brush myself off and work on the happy." Amy Marie shares, "Happy if I'm with the right people, miserable if it's a forced work outing." Jose says, "Happy hour to him means when I get home from work and get in my PJs and just relax with a cup of coffee." Mark has a different spin. He says, "Happy hour is a crowded social place I would not wish to go to." Sandy's had some experience with this. She shares, "Years ago, as a single female, I often practiced walking into a happy hour bar all alone, not to talk to anyone, but just to be there and learn to be comfortable. I have to laugh because I was fairly attractive, but no one approached me. I might as well have had a wall around me. Today, I can walk in and talk to strangers or not, and feel comfortable having dinner alone in a nice restaurant. I'm happy I did that." Paul shares, "Happy hour to me is a quiet corner in a cafe, not drinking alcohol, possibly with a friend or two, but that's optional." And I'm going to leave us with a comment from Barbara, who says, "Happy hour for her is every hour of every day that I am breathing." Thank you so much for sharing this time with me. And remember, if you enjoyed this podcast, share it with your friends, family, and colleagues, and consider leaving a review on iTunes. If you'd like more of this kind of information about being an empowered introvert, visit my website, theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You'll also find details about how I can work with you to help you build an energetically aligned, sustainable business. Look under Work with Beth for everything you need to know. This is Beth Bielow, and you've been listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Until we meet again, remember that success is an inside job.